We will be brief. My goal is to get us out of here before 6 so we can get to the prayer meetings on the job site. So I'll talk a little faster. You listen faster if you can help us. Help me with that. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to look at a very unusual path to victory that was taken here by King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll read the first 15 verses and then we'll let you be seated. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazath Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. The story here, so you understand, he has this great host, these three groups coming against him. And the first thing he does is he sets himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That's his prayer to the Lord. What happens next? And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They all just stand there. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless us in these few minutes, Lord, before we go out for our time of prayer together. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts to this very unusual story. And Father, show us that the battle is not ours. The battle is not a battle of the flesh. The battle is yours. And the victory ultimately comes from you. I pray, Lord, that we'd see these things that Jehoshaphat and Judah did and help us to take heed and do the same so we can experience the same victory they experienced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jehoshaphat was a good king. There's not much you can say negative about him. Really, the only issue he really had in his life that came back to haunt him later on is that he compromised by aligning himself with the kings of Israel. God rebuked him for that act, and it caused problems in his family later. But overall, Jehoshaphat was a good king. The story we read, there were some armies from Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir of that region, and they invaded Judah. Reports are reaching Jehoshaphat that they are coming away. They're coming his way. And so Jehoshaphat now, with this multitude coming against him, a very vast army, now springs into action to help his people to prepare for victory. But it's not the kind of action we think he would take. See, Jehoshaphat realized that any war that they fought was not won by military might. It was won, really, based on their relationship with God. Their victories were always based on, were they following the Lord? And if they did not follow the Lord, God would bring these nations in almost as a judgment against them. And so, yes, he springs into action, but it's not the way we think. He realized that they needed God's favor if they were going to win the war. As we read through these verses, we see after he prayed, they all stood there quietly waiting for an answer, and God gives them an answer. God tells them that they are going to have the victory. And as we look further and as we look here, we're going to see that it was a very unusual victory the way God gave it to them. Everything we do as a church really is a spiritual battle. There is a battle for the souls of men. There is a battle for righteousness. And so the battle we face, they're not fleshly battles, they're spiritual battles. And if we're going to win these battles, we have to fight them spiritual way, like Jehoshaphat did. How did he spring to action and lead them to victory? Well, let me give you several things, and they're things we need to do if we're going to have spiritual victory. First of all, he sought the Lord. Now, you would think, as a king, the leader of Judah, that section of it, of course, the kingdom was divided at this time. You would think that if a large army is coming your way, the first thing you're going to do is try to find out where they're coming, what's going on, what are we up against, what are we facing. Let's rally and get our troops together. Let's start putting a battle plan together. But that's not what he did. Fact of the matter is, it doesn't stay in this scripture that he did that at all. That was not his plan. His plan was, we need to seek God because he will give us the victory. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Do you know there is nothing wrong with planning? There is nothing wrong with preparing, but there is something wrong with placing our trust in our planning, placing our trust in our preparing. If we're going to get the spiritual victory, it's only going to come as a result of the fact that we, as a church, seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. A few chapters earlier in the same book of 2 Chronicles, if you're following the church's Bible reading plan, you should have read this recently. King Asa was coming back from a battle, and in chapter 15, it says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be found with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. How do we know if God is with us? Very easy. Are we with him? God always wants to be with us, but if God is not with us, it is not because he doesn't want to be with us. It's because we are not seeking him, and we are not with him. We need to seek the Lord. How are we going to accomplish great victories in our church? We need to seek God. How is that building going to get completed? We need to seek God. Number two, what else did he do in his unusual battle strategy? He stated a fast. Verse 3, the last part of the verse says, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Not only did he seek God, he said, you know what? We need to fast. This is a big deal. Just a few, probably a little over a month ago, we talked about this kind. This kind cometh forth, but by prayer and by fasting. Listen, church, we need God to do something mighty and miraculous to get our building done, to get spiritual victories, to continue to go forward. And we can't do it on our own. We need to fast. I hope that you will join us on May 14th for a corporate day of fasting. A day when God looks down, and no matter where you're at that day, whether you're at home taking care of the children, or whether you're at work, or you're here in the school, whatever you're doing, where God looks down all over this area and says, there's a people here and there from that church that is fasting for me to do something. They must want us to do something really bad. You see, we don't see the urgency of the situation. Now, for Jehoshaphat, it was probably a little easier for him to see the urgency. He has a military army bearing down on him. We don't see it sometimes. We get complacent and we think everything's okay. But do you understand? We have a spiritual army that's against us. But we have more that are for us than they that are against us. And if we're going to win this battle, we need to have a fast. Church, I pray that you would join us on Wednesday and pray and fast with us. I hope that you sign up each and every month on our prayer list to pray for our church and have one day a month where you are fasting. What else did he do? It's implied in fasting, but number three, he started to pray. And verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. Here, imagine this. Usually, they would get their guys together. We're going to have a battle. Let's call out all the men of war and let's get them together. They would all come and meet. That's not what happened here. What happened here is all these men and their families and their little ones came just to pray and ask for God's help. I hope you're praying for what's going on here. Prayer is not easy, by the way. And prayer is not something you will ever be comfortable doing. Let me just throw that out there. You probably pray and say, man, I just don't feel worthy. Get in line. You're not worthy. Nobody's worthy. It's only because of God's grace that we even pray. It's a discipline, and it's not something we feel, I got this nailed down. Whenever we stop and we kneel before a holy God, of course we're not going to feel worthy. But aren't you glad he wants us to do it anyhow? I hope that you have a time of prayer in your life. I hope that you're going to pray with us next week. I hope that our church and what's going on in our church and the construction and the finishing of that building, I hope that's on your daily prayer list. I hope that you pray because they prayed. Number four, I like this. They saw their past. They saw their past. Now, it's very interesting sometimes when you read the Bible and how the men pray. Hezekiah, we recently read through that, and he got a letter, and he kind of laid it out before God and said, now, God, check this out. See the threatenings here? They're just real honest with God. Look at verse 6 again. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest thou not over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not a power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And art thou not our God? And he's going to remind them here. Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? And you gave it unto the seed of Abraham and thy friend forever. He said, you know, Lord, they're coming here to try to take the land that you gave to us. The land that you already drove out the inhabitants that were here before. And they're going to come try to take it, Lord. Are you going to let them do that? They're almost reminding God of what he did in the past and what he promised to them for the future. Isn't that what the past is all about? Lord, look what you've done in the past. Continue doing the past into the future. Continue to work in our church. We don't want to be a church that says, you know, let's live by the glory years. You know, those were the best years of our church. No, the best years of our church are right now. The best years of our church are going to be into the future. We don't want to live in the past. We don't want to live and say, wow, what a wonderful place that was. We're just kind of filling up time and finishing now. How many churches in the past that were pastored by great men, years after they were gone, the church is gone. There was a man many years ago in Chicago. His name was Paul Rader. Paul Rader used to pastor the Moody Memorial Church in the early 1900s. He was reaching people, and some of the people in the church at that time, they didn't want to reach anybody. So he said, fine, I'll go somewhere else. And he went up to the north side of Chicago, and he built a huge church. That church was on our bus route. We used to drive by it regularly. It was a grocery store. They had a facade on the front of it, and we used to go around and look at that, and you could see an old, old brick building, and you could tell it was a church. That church shriveled up and died after he left. That's not what God wants. God wants the best years to always be the years you're experiencing right now. God wants the best years to be the years now, and going forward, they get better. Let's remind God of our past so he can help us continue in the future. I like when God came to Gideon and said, Gideon, I'm gonna use you. Get up, you mighty man of valor. You're gonna help lead the people free. And Gideon goes, really? Really? If you're the Lord, then and you're with us, then where are all the miracles we've heard about? Well, we know the miracles weren't there because of the way they were living, but I like Gideon's attitude. Like, all right, if you're the Lord and you're for us, then where's the miracles? We want to see some more. We don't always want to talk about the past. We want to remind God of the past so we can go forward into the future. Next thing in this little thing that happened, first, he saw their past. And next, see his salvation. We read verse 14 and 15 where Jehaziel stands up and says, listen, the battle's not yours, but God's. Stay there and go down to verse 16. We didn't read verse 16. There's a few verses here we're going to read. We're almost finished. Verse 16, it says, tomorrow, after he tells them the battle is Lord's, tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. So Jehaziel tells them right where they're at. And look at verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. God said, you know what? Now, back in the day, they used to have the drive-in movies. You know, people go in there. He said, look, this is the drive-in movie, but you're going to get to see a drive-by battle. He goes, here's exactly where they're at. I want you to go there. You don't have to fight. Just stand there and see what God does. And God does something wonderful. See God's salvation. Listen, when we put our battle plan the way God wants our battle plan to be, we can see God do something great and mighty. By the way, if we always are trying to do things by ourselves, I think sometimes God's more than willing to say, fine, you want to do it on your own? I'll just stand back. You ever have one of your children that are doing something, it's like, you want help? No. You know, sometimes the children, and now it's not, I have older ones now with the grandchildren out there, you know, you're bringing groceries in, the little ones want to go help. Here, I want to help. And you give them something, and you know they're struggling with it. It's like, you want me to help? Oh, no, I can do it. Halfway from the car to the house, they drop it, and you have to pick it up and help them. But it's like, fine, you want to try to carry it? I'll wait. I'll let you drop it, unless it's eggs. Give them stuff like bread that you can't destroy. That's how we are sometimes. I wonder if God's like, fine, you want to do it on your own? I'll stay back. That's not what we want. We want to see God do something mighty. If we can explain what's going on, then it's not of God. It's us. By the way, just because you're in this church, do not take for granted what God has done and is doing in this church. You know, when people come from the outside of the church, sometimes they'll say, you know, they say nice things, and we try to say nice things no matter where we're at, and they're saying nice things. But sometimes they're saying things, it's like, oh, they're just saying nice things. Maybe they're giving us a perspective we don't know. Maybe they're just trying to remind us, hey, God's doing something good here. Do not take it for granted. See what God is doing. Now, this is an unusual part. The next thing is this, sing his praise. Now look at verse 20. Even if you can't sing, just do it in the shower, amen? Verse 20, and they rose up early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, now they're going to go watch what God said. God said, go take a look. He goes, fine. So they're all going to go take a look. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when they had consulted with the people, now listen to his plan here. He appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So he says, as they're going here to watch what God is going to do, he says, all right, let's organize some singers here. We've got some little choirs, and we're going to sing while this is going on. Look what happens in verse 20. Don't miss this. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When did God start taking them down? When they started singing. Probably it was so bad, God said, let's get rid of these people right now. Or maybe their singing was so bad, as soon as they heard it, it killed them. No. You know what they said? They started praising God before they ever had the victory. God liked that. God said, you want to start singing about how good I am? Let me just show you how good I am. And God set up ambushments. Here's what happened to them. They started killing each other. Now, I don't know. There was three different groups. Maybe something happened and God brought some spirit, and this group thought that group was the wrong group, and they started fighting each other. Then they started fighting a third one. Next thing you know, they all killed each other. And Judah had a front row seat. You know why, though? They praise God. They praise God. Hey, while this process is going on, before God gives the victory, thank him for it. Might be nice to give God some praise. You say, well, I'm waiting for God to do something for me to be able to thank him about. Maybe that's why he's not doing anything for you, because you are not thankful and praising him. Say, praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he's done. Praise God for what he's going to do. Hey, let's be a thankful people. That's how God works. And then I like the last part. Not only did they all kill each other. I mean, they didn't have to do anything. Say, hey, what was your battle plan? We sang. Wow. Then it gets better. They spoiled the enemy. Verse 24 and 25. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. I mean, that's a battle. You know, they say, we're going to battle to the last man. The last two killed each other. There was nobody left. They come down there after singing, it's like, everybody's dead. All the armies are done. And then it gets better. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Now, I don't know if these guys had won some other battles already, and they had all this spoil from the other battles that they were carrying around with them. But guess what? They never got to use it. Who got the spoil? The children of Israel. Who gets the blessings when we win the spiritual battle? We do. By the way, who's our enemy? Satan. You know what spiritual victory is about? It's about helping people and securing people who are unsaved and taking them out of Satan's kingdom and putting them into God's kingdom. It's about helping people that are in bondage to sin and helping them to get freedom from their sin and get their lives changed and taking them away from the enemy. That's the battle plan. You can boil the battle plan down to this. Seek the Lord, pray, be thankful, and watch what God does. Because see, that's the kind of person that'll do whatever it takes. So let's not, yes, this is a giving campaign. Don't get me wrong. But it's not just a giving campaign. We need God's help. And he is worthy for us to give and to praise him and to give our all. Let's pray. And let's all stand together tonight.